Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and thanks for listening in to our second podcast for Dundee Museum of Transport. This week, I'm joined by Museum Manager Sam and two of our volunteers, Ian and Ron.
Looking at volunteers and the importance of volunteers within the running of the museum, how important are volunteers to you here at the museum?
Well, the volunteers are really important. It was volunteers that actually started the Transport Museum back in 2009-2010. So the organisation, you know, wouldn't have existed without volunteers from the local community. So every day that the museum's open to the public, it's a team of volunteers that are welcoming visitors, guiding them around the museum, serving them in the cafe. Pretty much every aspect of the museum relies on volunteers. So very, very important to the organisation, definitely.
Let's look at it hypothetically that I've got some time on my hands, sometimes on a weekly basis, sometimes just on an ad hoc basis, maybe a couple of hours, maybe a day, something like that. If I had that available to me, what would be the best route being coming involved as a volunteer here at the Transport Museum?
Well, we always encourage new volunteers who have maybe got half a day or a day to come in and just spend a bit of time at the front of house area of the museum. At front of house, they get to learn, you know, sort of the main day-to-day tasks of running the museum. But then they also get to meet everyone else, which is a really important thing. They get to meet everyone, learn what everyone else does. And from there, the volunteer can then think, well, I'm quite keen on this aspect of working in the museum. Say you want to work in the archive, or you've got a bit of knowledge of working on vehicles, so you might think, well, I'd quite like to join the restoration team. You don't necessarily need to just work in or volunteer in one area of the museum. You could be, you know, front of house one day and then the next day under a car. So, yeah, you're not really having to be in one area all the time. Obviously, at the front of house, we're dependent on them because that's, you know, the sort of public face of the museum. But we try and encourage our volunteers to get involved in all aspects of the museum, including the events and the restoration and everything else that goes on. And it's really up to them, you know, if they've got an interest and they want to come along and take part in that particular area, then we allow that.
Thanks, Sam. Ron, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became involved here at the Transport Museum.
My name's Ron Adam. I'm now 71 years old. I've had a lifelong interest in motorsport, classic cars, rallying, and I found that when I retired for the third time that I had time on my hands. My friend Ken Farker was a volunteer here and he interested me in becoming involved. Although I've got good mechanical knowledge, I'm not a professional engineer. So front of house, meeting people, greeting people, generally looking after the place. And I've also been appointed as the pest control officer for the museum, which required a day's training. That'll be quite interesting because it's a requirement for our authorisation. So.
Hi Ian, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, here at the Transport Museum, one of the important, probably the main cog in the wheel, is the workers that come in to make sure that the Transport Museum moves on. Now, you're one of the volunteers that come in here. Can you tell me a little bit about what your role is within the Transport Museum?
Well, I think the main thing is we ensure that it functions properly. We ensure that the vehicles are kept clean, because these folk have sort of trusted us to give us these in some cases very expensive vehicles, and it's up to us to take care of them. We do all kinds of maintenance, right from polishing expensive cars right down to cleaning toilets. You know, there's nothing that we can't do, you know. You know, it's not all sort of glamour, you know. Everybody has to muck in and pick up a floor brush or a scrubbing brush or duster and wipe down surfaces. So it's not all, you know, standing about, you know, playing with motor cars and things like that. We do look after the vehicles we've been entrusted with. And we've also got, not so much with the vehicles, we've also got all the displays. We have stuff handed in umpteen times a week. So we have an archive, we have a huge archive that is dedicated to preserving these things and storing them. You can go around the museum and you can see various cases relating to tramways, buses, pictures of buses. These things are all, you know, to sort of look after. We're entrusted with them. And I just feel that, you know, we've got to sort of protect these things now for the folk that are coming in the future, because we do lots of visits by children and they're amazed to see these vehicles. You know, we get asked, does it have power steering? Does it have heated seats? And, you know, say, no, they didn't have that in 1914. And they're absolutely amazed at the vehicles. You know, did folk actually drive around in these vehicles and things like that? We have an old Daimler bus that they're absolutely amazed at. And when you tell them that you once got to be able to smoke upstairs in it, they're absolutely child and absolutely horrified. They've just got a sigh of horror when you tell them that you can smoke up the stairs. You know, and that's basic. Well, we're just taking care of the past so that maybe if we're sitting, well, I won't be sitting here, but maybe somebody will be sitting here 20 years down the line and these vehicles will still be here and they'll still be relatively in the same condition.
What sort of commitment do you have for attendance here at the museum as a volunteer?
I've committed myself to one day a week, but I'll do other things if they need help. For example, we ran a stall at the auction at Errol the other weekend, and I went and helped with that. And with the special events that they run during the year, they need extra help for that. But I find one day a week is as much a commitment as I feel I can give.
What sort of age group would you expect your volunteers to be? Is there a particular age group you look for, or is it fairly open?
It's open, so anyone can come along and volunteer. And we've got quite a good mix, actually, at the minute, of sort of retired people. We've got some students coming in. We've got some much younger folk at the weekend who are actually just finishing up at school. Obviously, if you're working, it's much more difficult to find the time to volunteer. But even for the folk that do work, and that still manage to come in, you know, for a couple of hours, I think they tend to find it quite rewarding and they get involved in something just a bit different from their normal 9-to-5 job. So we've got quite a nice mix at the minute and hopefully that'll continue.
So the opportunities are there basically to maybe become involved in the restoration of that, something that's particularly interest you, or maintenance, mm-hmm. or maybe even things like PR type things. Are these all sort of things that you could look at if you're coming to volunteer?
Yeah, definitely. So we have a couple of volunteers at the minute that do help out with our sort of social media page and also just helping put together posters and entry forms. We've also got a volunteer that looks after all of the membership and they make up newsletters and send those out. So it's very varied, the different tasks that you can get involved in. One task that just started this year actually is we've got a student volunteer, a business student, and they're working on a retail plan just to try and develop some of the shop stock that we've got to make it more attractive, say, to visitors from outside of Dundee, and also to look at more branded goods for the shop as well. And that'll be part of his project for university. So obviously we get something out of it because we get his research and his time to looking at really good sort of quality goods for the shop, but he gets a lot out of that as a good project for his university course that'll help him towards his degree. So that's the whole thing about volunteering at the museum. It should work both ways, you know, and it should be of benefit to the volunteer as much as it is for us, and that's what we hope to do here.
How satisfying is that when you get something that's coming, it's perhaps not in the best condition in the world, and you put some time and energy and knowledge into bringing it back to me, Christy? How is that for you?
It's wonderful for me. You know, some of the vehicles that come through the doors here are, to say they were tired would be an exaggeration. Some of them, you just look at them and you think, no, this is not, you know, this is not going to work out, this. And then you think to yourself, well, maybe just, you know, rub this down a wee bit, and or maybe just do this, and maybe just do that. Oh, yeah, that's coming up fine. Oh, maybe if we did this. And given, you know, if we're not too busy, and given enough, if there's enough of us around, you can spend maybe a couple of hours on it and gradually get it back to exhibit standards.
When you come into the museum, there's obviously masses and masses of different types of vehicles. How good is it for you to be able to come in as and when you're volunteering and just see these things?
It's a fantastic experience. You know, we're sitting here in this cafe now, and I can take you out, and you and I could be sitting in a 1913 Model T Ford, or we could go further afield and I could take you in an Audi Quattro, and if you wanted I could take you into a double decker bus, or we've just received delivery of a 1954 Austin A40 van in mint condition. There isn't a lot of these vans. I haven't seen one in, what, 40 years? I've never seen one of these things. It's a one-off. It's a survivor. It gives you a great deal of satisfaction. It really does.
Sam, Ian, Ron, thanks very much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure listening to your memories and your aspirations and thoughts for the Transparent Museum. Listeners, thanks again for listening in. We'll be back again next week. We'll catch you then.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.